Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 13, December 30th, 2009. Wow, so yeah, lucky number 13. Here we are. But it's a nice number to wind up the year with, I
still
guess.
Makes me a little anxious, I gotta say.
Uh-oh. Well, that's, we did find out already. So maybe the glitch that we've already experienced the one glitch we're gonna have with the power adapter.
So. Yeah, yeah, power adapter for one of our audio adapters went out. I was able to brace it with a cable tie and then use packing tape to hold it together.
Very high tech. I do like the neon colors and the black match to wrap around on the wiring, though. That adds a lot of flair. It's very nice.
And you thought all your wrapping was done for the season. Well, we have got a number of different things, I guess, going on right now. There's no big heavy-duty headliners, it seems like, at the moment. It seems like a lot of things happening right now. Our folks just kind of cruising out the year. A lot of predictions going on for next year. I did notice last night that somebody leaked some information about Google's new Nexus One, and it was over
price point.
That's a headline right there. The price point, it was a $500 and something.
Oh my goodness.
To get it unlocked, if you want it with a T-Mobile account, then it's about the same as the iPhone, and with the same price point for the actual plan.
Mm-hmm.
Much less flexibility actually on the pricing than the iPhone, but that's another point for another time.
Coming January 5th, this is their big announcement. So we'll see what happens then, I guess, on the specifics, non-leaked stuff. Maybe, and who knows? I mean, they probably have extreme professionals out there figuring out what the how we're going to leak this and what the numbers we're going to leak. And
yeah. There's, you got to think that a lot of that's planned.
Because maybe some of the folks that were behind the whole Wave release are now, I don't know, maybe they learned something and can do this whole phone thing a little bit better than they did with Wave, because that was...
Yeah.
That didn't work out very well.
Yeah, that's not a fully baked thing. Speaking of different things we've got going on, Elizabeth is actually out this week, and that's not her voice you just heard.
That's not. It's...
No, I am not Elizabeth, actually.
You are actually Shannon.
I am Shannon, the intern.
All right. Well, hey, welcome to the expedition, Shannon.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
We appreciate having you here and taking some photos of when Rick was in here re-recording his segment earlier. So we look forward to seeing how those turn out.
Yeah, me too. We'll see. I'm excited to be here. It should be fun.
On that note, I'm going to throw in, we had you using the video camera.
Yes.
Instead of the traditional SLR. Because that video camera is actually quieter. You don't have all the mirror flopping up and all these shutter type things going on.
Quieter, it does a little bit better with different light.
Yeah, it's got amazing sensitivity for low light situations. It's a Sony camcorder, some model of there.
Yeah, but when I'm running around trying to document the breakfast, I'll actually tend to use the video camera to take stills more than I take with the SLR, just because it'll pick up the highlights on somebody's face, but it'll also pick up their iPhone screen.
Mm-hmm. I would never even think to do that using a video camera as an actual to take pictures with.
Yeah. That's so you're interning from the University of Memphis.
I sure am.
And you've been under the guidance of Dr. Chris Markham.
Dr. Chris Markham.
Who's been here? She's been one of our guests. And as a podcast enthusiast.
Definitely. You can tell that just by talking to her for about 5 minutes.
She was over. She made the Memcast meeting that we had a couple weeks back to try and get the podcasters in Memphis together to know each other and start recognizing that there's actually a podcasting community here, and to get that going. So she was. It was great to have her there as well. As a guest, as well as a guest speaker for the second time to the Social Expedition Breakfast.
Cool.
Kind of sharing some of the highlights out of the Pew Internet Research, the Pew study on the Internet. Some of the neat things there, especially the things that had changed since the last time she had been out there to let us know what was going on. So you guys are the school is shut down to what, mid-January or so?
Yeah, we go back like the 14th or 15th or something like that. So we got a whole month off.
And so amazing, you know, some people may not realize that there's actually courses on social media.
Yes, I just finished up a Media 2.0 class, and I probably learned more in that class than I have any other class I've taken in college. It was a lot of information, but it was interesting.
So Media 2.0.
Yes.
No doubt you've got a textbook that's got everything figured out, right?
Oh, yeah, of course. Because everything's stable and nothing's changing right now in the world of technology.
Published in 19 whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. 25.
It's kind of weird that, like, considering that how much everything changes, that, you know, there are so many people out there, especially on Twitter, that claim to be, like, social media experts.
Right.
I mean...
And really, what does it take to be a social media expert?
Right.
What,
the ability to learn?
Yeah, the ability to figure out exactly what's happening right now, because nobody knows, pretty much. Basically...
Apparently, well, there's so many people on Twitter, like, there's a study that came out this last week that says, like, there's... over like 15,500 social media experts on Twitter. So apparently what it takes to be a social media expert is just to like slap that in your bio.
Oh, great. I guess I could be considered an expert too then.
Yeah,
do
so
it. I don't even have to have the degree. Nice. Saves me a year and a half of work.
Well, they go into the names of like guru, ninja, superstar, well, in addition to expert, but I have seen those that people have, even their websites are social media expert. They've since modified that. Some of those folks have, but evidently some other folks have reached out there. So this study by B.L. Ackman shows that in May of this year, 2009, there were only about 4,500 social media experts. And now there are just over 15,000. So
wow,
clearly some of them just started.
Yes, I'm a few days off for Christmas.
So
I'm
going to
be a social media expert over the next couple days.
Do that, yeah. In between the semesters, why not?
Exactly.
You know, so hey, looking at this at the academic thing, what are the books that you guys, you know? So there's no textbook.
No textbook.
Okay.
Basically, the books that we're studying are books that social media experts, quote, I guess, publish, and it's their theories about what's happening now. And this is my take on what's actually happening. It's not you should do this, this, and this, and this in social media. Like we did, we read The Long Tail by Chris Anderson. We read Convergence Culture, and we read a bunch of different articles, 1,000 True Fans. But it's talking about the stuff that they're studying and what they're exploring right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1,000 True Fans. That's I've heard of that here again recently. I was watching. Gosh, it was something on YouTube. It was put together by the guy that was talking was the fellow that wrote the 4-Hour Workweek, and he was talking about the 1,000 True Fans, recommending that people go check that out.
Yeah.
which is at I think it's at kk.org.
Yes.
You know,
yes, it is.
Is where you'll find that 1,000 True Fans. It's basically I think it was just like a paper, a blog post or something that this person took off.
Yeah.
You know, so what's the concept there?
All right, 1,000 True Fans.
Quiz number one.
Back to August in the beginning of the semester when we read this article. Basically, what this guy says is if you can get 1,000 true fans to follow you in whatever you do, music, book industry, whatever you do, you can make a career off of it and you can make money. And he goes through these different steps. Like, all you have to do is number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and you'll have 1,000 true fans, and then you can live off of your career. Like, establishing a core group of fans that will go out and promote you themselves. That way, you don't have to pay someone to do promotions and just all of these different steps. So you don't have to quit your day job and join a record label and do all these other things and make your money that way, but you can do it basically online and go through an online publishing on your own.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of attacks on it too, saying it's a very naive idea and not everyone can actually do it like he says. So there's a bit of a controversy between it.
Oh, why not?
Yeah.
You know, the long tail has its haters too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm sure. And no doubt the 4-Hour Workweek does as well. You know, even just the title of the book, which the author did not come up with. It was not his doing. No, but he did a lot of good things testing it out. He used the web to test that idea out about having that as the title of the book, and so he stuck with it. I've not read that, but definitely have read The Long Tail, and but The Convergence I hadn't read that. One of the books, I was privileged enough to come out and speak to your class.
Oh yes,
and one of the things that I was wanted to make sure that everybody knew was a good thing to read is the Clue Train Manifesto, mm-hmm.
which I've already been assigned to read next semester by Dr. Markman.
Okay, okay.
Hadn't even started yet. She said, "By the way, that's the book you're going to read next semester."
There's two editions of that. There's the original that came out 10 years ago, and now there is the 10-year edition. I keep wanting to say the tenth edition, but that's not it. That's not it. It's just at the 10-year mark, they kind of revisited what they said 10 years previously and have updated what they said and kind of commented on it. And it's great. It's a lot thicker than the original, but looking back at what they said and getting their own analysis of what they had previously said makes it a wonderful read. And it should be a basic text, a required reading for really anybody kind of, I think, in industry these days.
Right.
There's so much heading that way and been going that way. It's just been a very slow progression.
That's what I've been told.
looking back at some 2009 types of things, I was kind of looking at the some stuff that Elizabeth had pulled together, and she had the top Twitter topics of 2009, which is a list that was kind of broken down. And so, like, the top people there was, of course, Michael Jackson and then Susan Boyle. And then there's these movies, which kind of caught me by surprise. That for the movies, as far as, like, as was mentioned on Twitter, the top movies were right. Harry Potter and New Moon. And I was surprised to see those up there towards the top, mainly because I look at those as being more young, more folks that are younger. But you hear people on Twitter aren't so much the youth. It tends to be, older folks.
Well, it's their parents. There is, an up-and-coming youth population on Twitter. You check back in Mashable a couple weeks, there was a post about how Twitter is getting younger and younger. And people are signing up to follow celebrities. There are kids who will, sign up for Twitter and, race their friends to see who can be the first to get to, their 1,000th tweet.
Oh, wow. And you also have to think the Harry Potter and New Moon movies, yes, they are geared towards a younger crowd, but there are a lot of older people that like them, too. I mean, my poor mother and her age group are madly in love with New Moon and Twilight, and they talk about it all the time. So,
mm-hmm. Well... But doing that, we've got to go ahead and wrap things up here. We want to make sure that you get on your calendars, your fresh 2010 or 2010 calendars.
Whichever you want to call it.
For January the 6th, we have Eric Matthews from Launch Memphis and Mercury Technology Labs joining us as our guest speaker at the Social Expedition Breakfast, which is going to be over there at the Holiday Inn. So check out socialexpedition.com for information on that. But also, the evening before that, Jeremiah Aoyang, now of Altimeter, is going to be in town, and we are putting together a tweet-up. Location is to be determined yet. We're still getting some specific information from Jeremiah, who's on a staycation right now, so don't want to bug him much. so please get that on your calendars, January the 5th for a tweet-up that night somewhere, and then the next morning, January 6th, for the expedition breakfast. And then, of course, don't forget our first core conversation of the year will be Friday, January the 8th. Hope to see you out there, and please, thanks for tuning in. And hey, we'll see you or hear you in a week. Or
you'll hear us in a week?
Yes.
I'll see you guys in a week. Yeah.
Take care.
See ya.
And we're joined today by Rick Tarrant of Rick Tarrant Productions. Welcome to the Social Expedition.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. I'm still wondering why. Being an old radio guy and social media, I'm going,
Well, we've seen you out at some of these events, and then even away from Memphis, over in Nashville. Was it at Bar Camp Nashville?
Yeah, I went to Bar Camp. What was that, in October maybe?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I used to do, most of my business used to come from Nashville, so I love Nashville, and any excuse to drive over there for a you know, a meeting or something, I generally try to grab it. So when I heard there was bar camp there, and I was at Pod Camp back in March of last year.
Okay.
Well, it's still this year, technically. By the time you hear it, it'll be last year. But in March of 2009, I think there was a Pod Camp Nashville.
Okay. I went to the first Pod Camp Nashville. Gosh, it wasn't even a bar camp. It was like a couple years ago, maybe even 3 years ago. So it was the first or the second Pod Camp.
Okay, I missed that.
But it was a different, a little bit different than the bar camps they have. It was everybody was in one room together the whole time, so there weren't different breakout sessions. There was just the program for the day.
Well, it was different in 2009. They did breakouts, and I primarily went there to hear one gentleman named Clift Ravenscraft, yeah. I believe is his name.
Okay.
And I actually became a plus member of his premium channel for his podcasting operation, mostly because I'm just fascinated by what he's doing with podcasting, and I want to support him because he's venturing off into new territory. And, you know, I've been radio since I was 15 years old, and I'm nowhere close to 15 anymore. So I'm fascinated by what people are doing with what's called social media.
Great. He was there.
Yeah, Cliff, he was at the Southern. Yeah, they gave him like all of 20 minutes, and I would have loved to have heard a 3-hour workshop from what he's doing. So I was a little disappointed in the time that they gave him.
Because he's off on his own now, and he's working with his wife on his various podcasts. Is that right?
Well, that's how he started, from my understanding, was he and his wife hosting some podcasts about different television shows that they were following. And now it's grown, and he has other guest hosts now. Like, he does a social media show, and he has a host or a co-host. He does a show on podcasting, which I think he does by himself. But then some shows he has co-hosts, and some of them are in the studio. Some of them are in other parts of the world, and they connect either via Skype or various things. So, yeah, it's kind of interesting. He's making a living doing it.
And where do we find him at online these days?
I think it's called GSPN.TV.
Okay,
that rings. Can't really speak on behalf of Cliff's operation, but
okay,
but I'm fascinated by what he's
GSPN.
Doing. GSPN.TV.
TV. Okay, we'll have to check that out. So, you know, what are you doing? I mean, you're out here, you're going to these pod camps, these bar camps, you know, this memcast. You know, what's going on with Rick Tarrant Productions?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think I'm just trying to put my toe in the water of social media, because, like I said, I've been in radio since I was a kid. And for 20-something years, I had my own production company called Communion Communications. And my primary niche there was Christian radio stations. And for 15 or so years, I produced radio productions. And every month, I would send out promos and vignettes and features for these radio stations to drop in between the music to give the station more personality. They were called the enhancers, so to enhance the sound of your radio station.
Okay.
And then for 15 or so years, I produced a weekly top 20 countdown and sent that out week after week after week. And this is when we first started doing it. It was on cassette, and then we moved to compact discs. And then I had just started moving to putting it online so that radio stations could download it. This would have been like 2001, 2002.
Really? Even that recent?
And interesting, and I've gotten way off on a bunny trail here, but interesting side note there was the only people that seemed to be happy about the download were people in third world countries.
Huh.
I had stations in Guatemala or Peru who were saying, thank you that we can download your radio show. And I had people in Georgia and Alabama saying, we've only got dial-up. That doesn't help us very much. So the reason I'm going to the social media things is, like, how do I take what I've done for 40 years now and bring it into today, the new millennium? Because I would say now that we're 9 years into it, we are officially into the new millennium, and the old media it's unraveling as we speak. Where it used to be radio, television, and print, now I've lost count between Twitter and Facebook and podcasting and video blogs. And
you made mention earlier about having to kind of reinvent what Rick Tarrant Productions is about. And even here at LunaWeb, even though we're a web company, we are continually having to reinvent what we're about. You know, I was just reading something earlier today and you catch glimpses of this every now and then, that talks about the traditional website, which has been our bread and butter for 15 years now, will eventually go away. and that there'll be other forms of a presence on this worldwide web. You know, and this article that I was reading was primarily focused on the mobile aspect of things.
Right.
And so, you know, we're just doing reinventing ourselves continuously. And I think maybe what you'll find is you're gonna reinvent to phase one, and then there's phase two, and those cards that are up in the air, they're never gonna land. It's like those cards in a wind tunnel almost. You know?
Well, that's what I'm thinking now. That's why I'm diving in, because and I'm fascinated by Leo Laporte and his podcast and what he's been able to build. And he made an announcement a few weeks ago saying that his company, I think, made $1.5 million this last year, and their overhead was $300,000 or so. So yeah, it's pretty good margin there. Mm-hmm. He said they were on track to make $3 million next year, I think it was, but their overhead wasn't increasing exponentially. So, of course, I'm fascinated by that. And he only started in, 2004 or 2005 when podcasting really, really began. So I heard him say when he was standing up at this press conference or whatever it was that he was talking, he made a statement. He said, "And are there any more questions? What can I tell you?" And it sort of sounded to me like, oh, so he's the guy with all the answers. And as soon as I thought that, he said, no, wait a minute. I didn't mean to come across like that. He said, I don't know anything. He said, as a matter of fact, we're all learning this stuff because mm-hmm. it's just all evolving and developing so fast.
Yeah.
And I think you're right. I think we're going to have to now become professional learners.
Yeah.
And just like your intern Shannon, who's in school at the University of Memphis, learning right now, my thought is I want to join her and sit next to her in class because I need to be learning all that they're teaching.
They've done a great job out there at the University of Memphis. You know, normally you would think about academia kind of lagging behind what's
exactly.
going on in the industry, but they're staying right up there with it, and the industry's trying to keep up with itself. You know, I love what you say about being professional learners, because I've been saying the same thing for a few years now. And that's about it. You've got to learn something and recognize the value that it provides for you or the organization before it becomes outdated anymore. And so, yes,
and that's really like in about
good.
5 minutes.
Yeah, you know, some things it sure seems that way. That we do need to focus on how to learn. And get this information and recognize the value in it before it becomes outdated. And anyway, it's great to hear you say that. I'm on that train with you.
Well, I had a great Christmas because my mother discovered Amazon wish lists. She called up and says, "What does Leslie want for Christmas?" "Well, I don't know, Mom. Why don't you look at her Amazon wish list?" "Her what?" "Yes, Mom. There's this thing called Amazon." "Well, I've lost money. Credit card scams, blah, blah, blah." I was like, "Look, Mom. Amazon's really, they're really good. They're not going to steal your credit card number, okay?" Anyway, I told her about Amazon wish list so she could find my children and what they want. So I gave them the heads up, "Hey, quick, get on Amazon, update your wish list." And then she discovered mine, and I had things like YouTube marketing by Greg Jarboe and a novel about, I think it was called One Second After. It's about electromagnetic pulses being released over the United States. I've just started chapter one, and I thought, well, that sounds like a fascinating techno thriller. So I got that, and so I got these books on social media. So I'm just a happy camper, and I've got a lot of reading to do.
All right,
a lot of learning to do.
And you walked in here with Gary V's Crush It,
Gary Vaynerchuk.
Yeah,
what do you think about him?
Well, he's very popular. I know he's doing a lot of things right. He must be, but I sat down and watched one of his video podcasts.
We probably couldn't play an excerpt on the podcast today, could we? If we're going to stay rated G.
Right. And I was worn out by the time I finished his 10-minute deal or whatever it was. And I've not watched another one.
Yeah.
And I've heard a lot of other people say that. So some folks really like him and gravitate towards, I guess, he's very dynamic. He's got a lot of energy. But some folks, it's like, whoa, that's just a little bit too much, it seems like. What do you think?
I think it's a great book. It's a short read, and I'm a slow reader, which is problematic for a guy who wants to learn a lot. The biggest thing that I'm impressed with is he's talking about passion. Follow your passion. You got to do what you're passionate about. And that's how I built my business originally. And then I've heard people say, no. In fact, I know a lot of the internet marketing gurus say it doesn't really matter what you're passionate about. It matters about what they're passionate about. So if you can find a product or create a product that they're passionate about, then that's where all the money is. My problem with that is I can't do it if I don't like it.
Right.
You know, I tried my hand at real estate while I was going through the valley of deciding what I wanted to do when I grow up. And it's like, yeah, you can make a lot of money at it, but I didn't like it. So I do like that about Vaynerchuk. He says, find your passion and do what you're happy doing and figure out the money. But he also, his work ethic is off the chart. I mean, there's, I have to read it from his book where he says about how hard you have to work. He says, let's see here. I hate to disappoint you, but if you're looking for an easier time here, you're barking up the wrong tree, comparing working for yourself to working for the corporate man. He says, there might be a little more flexibility to your day should you be at liberty to devote yourself full-time to building your personal brand. But otherwise, assuming you're doing this right, you'll be bleeding out your eyeballs at your computer. You might have thought your old boss was bad, but if you want your business to go anywhere, your new boss had better be a slave driver. I mean, he says, the only differentiator in this game is your passion and your hustle. So that's what the theme of this book is all about, is getting your game on and working hard.
I like the size of that book. That's something I can handle.
Well, then you'll love the size of chapter 9. Mm-hmm. I wish this was a video podcast. That's chapter 9 right there.
Oh, okay.
One word. It says care. So anyway, I think it's a fascinating book, and I think it's worth going through to find out what he's doing and why he's doing it. And I'm just doing it to help me formulate what is my strategy going to be.
So how long have you been kind of taking a look at what's going on in the social realm?
I would say about 18 months.
Okay.
I started listening to podcasts about 18 months ago. I started taking long walks with the goal of losing weight and listening to various marketing podcasts, just trying to see what other people were doing. I was trying to find an interview with David Meerman Scott, who wrote a book on PR, the new PR and marketing, and discovered an interview with him on a podcast. And I've been listening ever since to various podcasts.
And where do you go to find your podcasts?
You just Google.
Google?
I would Google, you know, like that time, David Meerman Scott podcast. Then you discover someone like Cliff Ravenscraft, and he says, well, he listens to Leo Laporte. So then you go over and you discover Leo Laporte, and then you hear Leo say he listens to so-and-so. You know, and it's kind of like that. It's you build the network. It's kind of like social media.
That is.
Like going to Twitter and seeing who are they following and then clicking on somebody and following them.
Now, what's out there right now with regard to some podcasts that you've worked on?
That I've worked on personally?
Because I've been to your site. I mean, I've seen some, you know, you've got samples out there. You've done television type of...
A lot of television ads, radio ads, radio promos. I've worked with a couple of clients who are doing some internet streaming projects. There's a JesusFM.com. A friend of mine named Tom Dooley in Dallas is doing a 24/7 radio station.
I see.
And I've done some intros and outros for individual podcast producers and radio show producers.
And you had some Christmas things up there here recently.
Yeah, it was kind of an experiment. My first podcasting experiment was Christmas Through a Child's Eyes at ChristmasThroughAChildsEyes.com. And where I interview little children, 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds, and put them into little 50-second montages and vignettes. And it wasn't, you know, sponsored or monetized in any way. I just put it out there as my first experimental podcast.
Great. Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity. And, you know, for people of all ages, especially children, you know, it hasn't been tapped into yet as far as programming for children on the web, you know, with, you know, entertainment and information, you know, even produced by, not produced, maybe hosted by children. Kids.
Well, you know, Leo Laporte's daughter hosts a podcast.
Okay.
Now.
Well, I knew it could not be an original idea. So, okay, that's good.
Well, they say there's no new ideas under the sun. Yeah. The difference is now everybody can get online and do it.
Right. Speaking of that, where is it? Where can we find you online?
My website is rickterrant.com. That's TARRANT. Rick Terrant. And I've got demos of TV ads, radio ads. Audio that I've produced for the internet, etc.
Is there, if we wanted to connect with you in the social sphere, is there a good spot for that, or are you still investigating?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn. Is that what you mean? LinkedIn.
Yeah.
It's What is it? LinkedIn, I forget, .com.
/in/
Rick Tarrant.
Okay, good. And so you got that.
My Twitter is Rick Tarrant, @ Rick Tarrant.
Okay, great. Well, fantastic.
I'm not a heavy user of these things. I don't tweet all that often.
Oh, it's okay.
I listen more than I speak.
I think there are plenty of people out there demonstrating right now what can happen when you tweet too often. So.
Yes, don't want to go there.
All right, Rick. Well, thanks so much. And hey, happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, and thank you for having me.
The Social Expedition Podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. Your hosts are Dave Barger, Elizabeth K. Wine, and Matthew Crawford Trissler, who edits the podcast. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.
I do like the neon colors and the black match to wrap around on the wiring, though. That adds a lot of flair. It's very nice.